Good morning. KSL News Time is 6 o'clock. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story this hour.
The Salt Lake City Council spent several hours last evening discussing plans to transform part of downtown into a sports and entertainment district.
KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston begins our live team coverage, Downtown Revitalization. Peter?
I'm going to start with what Mayor Erin Mendenhall said, because she gave a really strong opener for the Smith Entertainment Group and laid out the red carpet for them.
I am thrilled that we are sitting here with the key on the table to unlock the revitalization of our entire downtown core.
Now, the Smith Entertainment Group, for their part, made a big sales pitch saying that just the All-Star Weekend that happened last year brought in $294 million. However, they want a fuller revitalization effort than just the stadium.
The very best, state-of-the-art, perfect arena for hockey and basketball on the site where the Delta Center is right now, and nothing else in downtown changed, we would not do it.
Now, the Smith Entertainment Group says they're willing to pump in at least $3 billion into this project, and the Salt Lake City Council, for their part, says they're going to consider a sales tax hike over 30 years to see how they can offer some funds themselves to finance this project. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
The proposed downtown revitalization plan has the full attention of those who run Salt Lake City's Japantown. KSL-TV's Lauren Steinbrecher continues our team coverage. She spoke with Roland Yoshinaga, who says Japantown leaders want to be included in the planning.
For Japantown advocates at the meeting, the message seemed positive. Roland hopes the plan will include businesses on this street, not just the backside of them, with architectural elements that can enhance and revive Salt Lake City's Japantown.
Japantown's buildings right now face the loading docks at the Salt Palace Convention Center.
Utah's hockey team is looking to add to the excitement in the downtown area in their first season in the state, and they have high hopes of getting better in this year's NHL draft. KSL News Radio's Adam Small continues our live team coverage, Downtown Revitalization. Adam?
Amanda, Utah's NHL team already has a lot of young talent, but they've got more potentially on the way. They've been awarded the sixth pick in this year's NHL draft. Utah's team general manager Bill Armstrong spoke to reporters after landing that pick in yesterday's draft lottery.
There's some good defensive talent. There's some good offensive players that are there. I like this year's draft, and I know our scouts are excited about where we're picking and the opportunity to pick some of that talent.
Utah also has 3 second-round picks and 13 total picks in this year's draft, which is more than any other team in the league. The draft is June 28th and 29th in Las Vegas. Live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
You can count on us closely following all the developments surrounding the plans to revitalize downtown, both on the radio and, of course, on our website at kslnewsradio.com.
KSL's top national stories now. The Biden administration is halting a weapon shipment to Israel. Here is ABC's M. Nguyen with more.
Hamas and Israeli negotiators are in Egypt for more ceasefire talks. Hamas says it will oppose any ceasefire hostage deal as long as Israel's operation in Rafah continues. Israel says the operation in Rafah is necessary to eliminate Hamas's militants hiding in that city.
More than 1 million people have sought shelter in Rafah during the war.
Now continuing coverage in the line of duty this week, the funeral of Santaquin Police Sergeant Bill Hoosier will take place on Monday morning at Utah Valley University, and a foundation that gives out scholarships in the name of fallen officers spent time remembering Hoosier, who they named through new scholarship recipients.
My father worked alongside Cody Brotherson, who passed away in 2016.
My kids have known about Cody, and I'm tearing up right now, you know, thinking about it.
Recipient Sienna Wyckoff and her father, Officer Justin Wyckoff, spoke with KSL-TV. The foundation also recently wrote a $25,000 check to the family of Police Sergeant Bill Hoosier.
It's amazing what they do. If ever an officer is, you know, falls in the line of duty, they are right there because the family has immediate needs, and they address those needs immediately, which is really something. First look traffic now. It takes us back over to you, Andy.
Amanda, travel on I-15 has been clear all morning so far, with dry roads making a huge difference today. We still have that ramp closure from South 215 to West 80. That's going to be a problem for people this morning, but hopefully they learned a lesson yesterday which route they need to take as an alternate if that's their normal travel route. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
The Utah State Auditor is being flooded with complaints since the implementation of HB 257.
the law that dictates which bathroom a person can use. Here's KSL News Radio's Heather Peterson.
State Auditor John Dougal says they've had about 10,000 complaints since the law was implemented on May 1st. But those complaints have been more about political opinions or specific people they want investigated. Dougal emphasized the state auditor's office is not a bathroom monitor and they don't look into people who are not using the right bathroom. His job is simply to make sure local and state buildings are in compliance.
Dougal says they have not yet received even one legitimate claim since opening the online reporting form to the public. All the reports have been bogus, something his department doesn't look into or simply disagreement with the new law.
The owners of an ice cream shop in Taylorsville are assessing the damage after a car drove into their building last night. Police say the driver accidentally hit the gas instead of the brake.
Oh, my gosh.
No one was injured. That's a good thing.
West Jordan City is ready to start building a new community and arts center after multiple false starts and two groundbreaking events.
The Cultural Arts Society of West Jordan welcomes the center, having to utilize venues in Taylorsville and Midvale for their plays over the past few years.
There are so many amazing, talented people as residents in the city.
That was Rachel O'Crawley with the society who told me local artists will display their pieces inside. Marie Majors, public information manager with West Jordan, expressed the excitement they have to be able to bring the community together, a project 7 years in the making.
We're really excited about this because West Jordan's been needing an art center for quite some time.
They plan to complete the center by this time next year. Eric Cabrera, KSL News Radio.